Welcome back, everyone. It's Brian Hutchison, your host of the Behind the Science of Career Development podcast, sponsored by the APCDA Journal, APCDJ. And we are here for a new episode where I am scouring the world for fresh faces, new voices, and anyone who has something new and interesting to say about the field of career development. So I had a very interesting conversation about a week and a half ago. And sometimes I get inspiration for guests because something strikes my brain a bit like a lightning bolt. And what I realized is what we broadly, I think, in our profession do is we really magnify the voices who have been around a while, like me, right? We want to bring on guests who are known names and have done research and have been in practice a long time. But my curiosity was really piqued about bringing on someone who had more recently made the transition into the career development field. And so I'm super excited this episode to bring on my new friend, Tam Nguyen, who is an active member of APCDA. And we're going to talk about her choice process as she has transitioned from one career to the Creative Professional Career Services. Tam, how would you like the audience to know you? How would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Brian, and hi, everyone listening to the episode today. My name is Tam, and I'm currently a career coach and life coach located in Montreal. Usually, I help meet career people and some immigrants and entrepreneurs, walk them through a life reimagined journey, you know, so help them to make the decision in terms of career transition and career development. So pleasure to be here today.
Well, I got to start right from the beginning by digging into something that you've already said. I love the words and the frame of the phrase life reimagined that it brings to my mind as a career professional. Can you talk to me a little bit about the history of why you use that language to describe what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's part of it connects with my story. When I made my transition from a background in supply chain management and now in career development. Back then, what helped me to make that kind of decision is really the room that I create, the space that I create for myself to reimagine my life in a different way. And that brought me to coaching and then eventually into career development. So that's the reason why I really enjoy using that term.
Yeah. And in getting to know you a little bit and really like digging into your professional website, there's like a story behind that journey. So like many of us, we have a unique pathway based on our family, our culture, our background, our history that sort of sets us, I always picture it as setting us into a groove of a record that we're told when we're young that if we just play that song, it will lead to success, happiness, and fulfillment. And would you mind talking a little bit about your background and leading up to maybe the decision point of deciding to come into the field of career development from supply chain management? So what's your origin? It's like one of those superhero movies. Tam, what is your origin story?
Love it, Brian. Usually, yes, you are right. I replay that kind of song very, very often up to the point that I want to change the song. My background was in international business and then supply chain management. The origin story, I think, it was like when I was small, I really hate people asking me what you're gonna do when you grow up, you know, what is your passion? Because I don't know. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I think I can do back then was that listen to parents and listen to the society. This is your path to success, you know? You chose a career that that gives you a lot of money or have a lot of like very nice prospect. And back then in Vietnam, we have nothing called career services or career development, et cetera, right? That is the only thing I know that I'm gonna choose one thing that have a very good future. So, which is supply chain back then. It's a brand new term in Vietnam when I chose that kind of major. And I know that I will be able to do a lot of interesting thing with that kind of field. I have no reflection at all in terms of my skills, my aptitude, or my interest. So that's the reason why I chose it. But a year ago, a couple of things happened more or less at the same time that really pushed me to be more creative in terms of what kind of career or what kind of life that I want to be.
So I had a dear colleague one time say that I can be a little bit like a frisky puppy. So when we first met and you started to talk about supply chain management, I don't know if you remember my response. You do. Yeah. For the audience that can't see her right now, she has a look of complete horror on her face, like she went through some sort of event. But I became quickly fascinated because you weren't telling me that supply chain management is bad. As a profession, you actually seem to hold a lot of value for some of the ideas and concepts of supply chain management. And we had this great discussion, for me at least, about how that informs your thinking and your approach to career design and career coaching and life design. What are some of the, and we'll get into the transition to career development in a minute, but like, what are some of the sort of luggage that you've transported with you from that past career to your work today?
I love it. I love the word that you use, luggage, you know? I step into a new journey, but it doesn't mean that I will unpack all of my baggage, all my luggage, and then I'm going to choose which one going to serve me well and which one no longer serve me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what served me well and the connection between supply chain and career development, I think before I go into that, let me give you a very simple explanation about what supply chain is, because there's so many people ask that kind of question and I get into that a lot of time. So supply chain. So it's just a network, you know. It's a network. It has a lot of stakeholders in that kind of network. It could be people, it could be organization, and the flow moving around within that kind of network, there are three types of flows. One is information, second one is money, and the third one is material. Okay, so the whole idea is just like how you can run that network properly and smoothly, and try to transform all of that kind of information, material, or money. With different stakeholders, you know? So if you look into that kind of definition of supply chain, and now you go back to career development and you look into your clients, I usually imagine I put my client at the center of that network and imagine everyone around her or his life as a stakeholders. There are so many different factors in her life or his life that impact her or his career decision-making. And our job is just really, first of all, when client comes to us, we really see that big picture, that kind of network. And then we see, okay, what kind of flow that exists here? Is it emotion? Is it expectation? Is it some sort of belief? You know, sometimes we exchange information too, and all of that will affect the career decision-making of our clients. So I think the concept of supply chain really helped me to reimagine my client's journey at the beginning.
Yeah. And so as a supply chain manager, it sounds like one of the things is sort of mapping out that network, like understanding what the pieces are and what the sort of flow mechanisms are. I would guess also there's then another part of it where you're trying to turn the flow up and turn the flow down between different parts to optimize outcomes. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, that is the big part of my job, that look into the whole system, the whole network, and see which pieces are missing, you know, what kind of gaps that you can see in that network, and how you can improve the flow and improve the system, how you can optimize those process. And it really helped me with my critical thinking, like, okay, what can I do? Sometimes I call myself, and sometimes my colleagues call myself a detective as well, because you have need to go deeper and deeper and see what caused the problem and how we can solve it. So yeah.
So what I see from my seat is the network that you're describing has some similarities to some other approaches that we already have in career development.
Exactly.
I'm really thinking about like ecological models, right? Mm. It sort of feels like ecological models of our personal embeddedness in these sort of concentric systems that influence us and influence what it is that we do. But one of the things that I don't hear as often is once we understand the network is how we help clients make decisions to increase and decrease flow rates or to divert the impact of different parts of the chain. It's almost like I live in an area and I grew up in an area that has old canal networks from mm-hmm. before the railroad. And you know how they have locks and the water can be raised and lowered and boats can be brought beside each other. That sort of visual metaphor is really speaking to me as you talk about the things you think about the work.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it's like the very first thing that we can help our client is awareness, right? They need to be aware of that network and need to be aware of the influence of those network to their decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And then it's gonna translate into, okay, what kind of action and what kind of thing that we can help our client to see. So a big picture, and then what kind of gap that we need to fill in, any kind of information we can get more out of our client story. Mm-hmm. And from there, what is within their control, what is out of your control, mm-hmm. and how you can take all of that into your decision.
Yeah. One of the things that a lot of my work focuses on is the impact of career on our mental health and wellness. So I would guess that even though you're here because this decision-making process that you went through to make a career transition worked well for you, that point of letting go, of decoupling from this career that you held for all of these reasons must have been a hard part. Is there any chance you'd tell us a little bit about the making of that decision and what it felt like to leave, and then the uncertainty of the next door?
It is so true that it's not an easy journey, and that's the reason why like now I deeply care for my clients, like especially for the first three or four months, because it's going to be extremely difficult for them to navigate through that uncertainty. I guess it is difficult, but it is possible as long as you have a proper setting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how you set your expectation, how you set your goals, and mm-hmm. Do you have a sort of environment around you that support you mm-hmm. through that difficult time, you know? Mm-hmm. One of the thing that really helped me to make that bold decision was, first of all, my health. So my body couldn't lie to me. They told me that, okay, you should stop and you should take some time to for your self-care and for your self-reflection. You know, that physical health and that mental health are very important, like you mentioned. And it will tell you what to do, obviously.
Yeah. I just was on a podcast as a guest last night talking about the other part of my career, which is being an existential therapist. And there's a great quote. I can't remember if it was from Nietzsche or Kierkegaard, but that our bodies hold so much more wisdom than all of our philosophies.
So true. Yeah. Can agree more with that.
So your body is sort of telling you, right? It's sending all of these signals, it's sending all of these messages. And of course, one of the things that we often do as coaches and counselors is coach clients to sort of take care of their body, which sort of mediates the harm being done a little bit, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change the condition that's causing the harm, the career change. So what are some of the things that you found helpful in supporting yourself and your well-being as you made this important decision?
There was another factor that really supported me at the beginning of it. The first one I mentioned is that my health, but the second one is really, back then my immigration document has an issue and I only have 1 year left to stay in Canada. That one I can call like, I don't know if you can call it existential crisis, but if you somehow think about, okay, your journey might end at one point, then it create a lot of creativity for you to reimagine your life, yeah. You know? So I say like, okay, what if I only have 1 year here in Canada and I have freedom to do everything, what would I do? You know, so it's like people that when they reach like 30 years old or 40 years old, like the very milestone in their life, uh-huh. they kind of feel like, okay, I need to change something, you know, something is ending and I need to change it. Or some people going through like life-changing event and it changed their perspective completely. So I look into my situation more or less the same, like I feel like something's ending and I need to take action on it. So yes, that gave me a lot of inspiration and helped me to make that decision. And from there, in order for me to navigate through that uncertainty and to get into coaching and eventually career development, I think there are two things in general. First one, you need to create room for your self-reflection, which you usually don't do. Mm-hmm. If no one forced you to do that, you usually don't just sit down and think about it. But if you intentionally do it, you will see a lot of wisdom that you can get and you will learn about yourself a lot. And the second one, as I mentioned previously, is about the environment that you said, your friends, your family, the books that you read, some kind of inspiring or inspirational story that you hear, you know, that will return into the self-understanding. And also it's part of your field research as well, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah. So was... Do you have like a story of a moment when you thought, oh, career development might be the next thing for me? How did you, what I'm really trying to get at is like, how did the idea of that as a career for yourself, like where did that come from in your life, in your journey?
Yeah, so absolutely. It's part of the self-discovery journey, self-discovery process, right? At the beginning, I have no idea about career development field, no idea about coaching. But what I did back then, first of all, that self-reflection that I mentioned, and second, tap into many different resources for career inspiration. So I searched on Google and tried to find so many books that I can read about how people can get into career transition, how they know what kind of decision that they can make next. So when I tap into all of those information, and then it brought me to like, okay, this is my favorite skill, that is my interest. I look back to my career, my flow moments in the past, and then kind of map it out. In a small sheet, and it's still there right now in front of me every day. You know,
I love it
because it's something that very important for me. That is the aha moment when I map out everything on a small sheet of paper. Uh-huh. It was just like a lightning bolt for me. Yeah. You know, and then one leading to another. On that journey as well, I met a lot of people was in the same situation and going through the same crisis, like crisis of purpose, you know? Yeah. And then that inspired me to see, okay, if career development field are out there, how could someone like me not be aware of its existence? Like, what is missing? And it inspired me to get into the field and see what kind of gap that I can reach.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I want to ask a good question to get you to talk to people like me that have been in the field for a long time, because as we get further and further away from that moment, right, that entry moment, we get hazier and hazier, or we hold on to old ideas about what new people transitioning into the field might be thinking about. So in a way, I want to ask, like, what should old people like me know? but that's probably not the right question, Tam. How did you identify and sort of validate the resources, the people, the trainings? Like, how did you navigate that first? Okay, I think career development's the field to me. There is so much information out there in the world, and not all of it is good. I think we can say that with confidence. What's that navigation process look like for someone in your position then?
That is a very interesting question. I thought, I was thinking about the way that I filter the information and the training that you, like you mentioned. For me, someone loved reading and writing. I tap into books first.
Any specific books that stand out for you?
The very first one that brought me to career development is the What Color Is Your Parachute? Of I know course. Everyone knows
Good
that
course.
One.
Yes, yeah. That's right. But we didn't even have to say that one, right?
Yeah, but, exactly.
But it's said by everyone for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason that that is the first thing that almost everyone says. Yeah,
exactly. So one book list to another. And then when you see the the idea behind the book, and this book mentioned another book, that is really my navigation process, that I tap into books and written material first. It could be some kind of textbook in career development, and it could be some kind of like book in general that serves everyone out there. And then I started reading the theory and et cetera, and see what really helped me to deliver my message, or what really helped me to bring my mission and visions a little bit closer. At the same time, it's really a process for me to carve out my niche, like who do I want to serve, you know, and in which way. Because a lot of time when we go through that kind of textbook, those kind of language is really not a right language for me to deliver to my clients. You know, it might not resonate with them if I say something about like informational interview and some sort of like other kind of tools that we have. Mm-hmm. So it's a trial and error process. Yeah. You know, first of all, I choose the training that that professor I will know or being mentioned a lot in the field, and or the method that he delivered and the knowledge will help me to serve that specific clients. And then I will test with my clients through pro bono service, you know. I'll test and I'll see, does it help them actually navigate better through the career transition? Mm-hmm. Some people that they might not have much of idea in terms of self-reflection, or some people might not look into assessment and tools very well, the way they try to interpret that. So it really depends on who specific clients you are serving, and then you try the tools different time and you see, okay, if I finish my section and client cannot self-coach them in the future, maybe it's not a good tool.
Love it. Yeah, because if what we're doing, in my mind, is truly helping the person, then the goal of the intervention, of coaching or counseling, is for them to be liberated to some extent of the need for me as a coach or a counselor.
Exactly.
Like the goal isn't to tie them to me for the rest of their life or the rest of their career.
So true. Yeah.
So we want that sort of effective and efficient pathway, because we're expensive for many people. We want that effective and efficient pathway to their liberation of the process. Yeah,
exactly. I can see a lot of people tap into career services when they were in university and college, right? And somehow when they go through quarter life or midlife crisis, the term that people usually use recently, when they are mid 30 or 40s, they still go through that kind of identity crisis and they still don't know what to do next.
Yeah.
So we have to use some sort of like tools that like I mentioned, really serve them in the future, mm-hmm. help them to prepare for the uncertainty because it's going to hit you at any point in your life.
Yeah. So if I, like if a client's sitting down, if a potential client's sitting down with you and is like, how is this going to help me? Like, how do you describe your process in helping them? I feel like I can guess at that considering the way you're framing everything so well, but how do you think you help clients?
Okay, let me imagine that. When client comes to me, for the first two section, I usually just to get to know them and their story and their struggle, what they have tried so far and what's not working and et cetera, you know? And usually when I deliver the message to my client, my niche is usually to help them to see the purpose and develop the sense of purpose in their career development and their life. So I guess that is a way for me to filter clients already. When clients comes to me, they already have that kind of idea in their mind that they struggle to see their contribution or how to make a difference to their work. So I will, first of all, I'm a fan of narrative approach. Usually I don't use assessment and tools so often. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like put the label on them before I know their story. Mm-hmm. So that is the way I approach my clients first, get to know the story behind that. Mm-hmm. Like now it's like building up that kind of network through supply chain, you know? So map that picture, map that kind of network that they have. And then I will propose to them how I can approach their problem and their situation. So I hear them talking about their struggle. This is what I can help you. Mm-hmm. I can help you to look into your stories. It could be the story of your suffering. It could be the story of your past experience, your work, your life, any kind of events you want to bring it up. From there, and we will start seeing, okay, how I can help client to really develop a solid foundation of their personal brand, their identity. Mm-hmm. Only then we can move to the next stage, which is what kind of plan that you have in mind, what kind of decision that you want me to help you to make, and what kind of action plan that we can work together to turn that into reality. Yeah. You know? So that is the process usually.
Yeah. I just admire the first part of that so much, Tam. I was trained very traditionally, I think like most of us are, but the longer I do this, the more the question of is early process goals, does that serve the client or does that serve me?
Yeah.
Two reasons. Why am I helping a client set a goal when I don't know the client? Why am I helping the client set a goal when we don't have a trusting relationship? And why am I encouraging a client to set a goal when they're probably feeling emotionally overwhelmed and dysregulated? And this sort of gets to your brand that I know from your website, that sort of meditative breath of we don't have to worry about the reason quite yet. Is becoming more and more and more a part of the way that I approach it. As a mental health counselor, most clients are conditioned to come in and say, here's my goal of therapy. And then by the fifth session, you're working on the real thing. And it wasn't that goal that stated early on. And that's really been how I've sort of evolved to that belief about my own work. And I hear that in your work too. I love I don't know if this is the right word for you, but the gentleness with which you treat the client's reaction to the fact that this stuff is really hard on people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your kind words, Brian. I can resonate a lot on that. I remember one of the episodes that you have, you also say that like, in order for a client to actually share something, you have to build trust. They have to trust you so that they can give you a whole picture of what's in their mind, how they feel, you know, how they sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that's particularly important. And we were talking off air before we got on that. I think that's why I thought you've been doing this for a year. You're sharing that you're already being recognized and called upon for specific expertise in the BIPOC community, and starting to think about career development and how to serve that specific need. Mm-hmm. And I think that that applies to cross-cultural work as well, right? Because I embody a lot of, if not all, most all of the privileges in the world. And so me pushing a goal for my own needs too quickly makes it not as okay to be like, well, it's really hard because I'm a woman in this field, or it's really hard because I'm an immigrant to this country, or it's really hard because I think racism is involved. Mm-hmm. And so a gentleness of spirit to wait for the goal, I think, reveals a whole lot of the things in this network, in this ecosystem that might otherwise be unconsciously pushed to the side because of the power of the coach or the counselor. That's the way I think about this.
Yeah, so much. Yeah. Usually, like, we try to get into the goal that you mentioned, and it's just on the surface, you know, so really make some sacred space for a client to just go deeper and deeper and deeper, and maybe just forget the world a little bit and tap into their inner world, you know, so
And this is a very instinctual question, right? But as two people that do sort of more depth work, I think, for lack of a better word, how do you know when you're at that level that's the most genuine and authentic for a client, that's not the surface stuff? How do you and the client sort of be like, okay, I think we're there now, so we can start to transition to phase two or a next phase? What are the signals that come up for you?
Yeah, interesting question. Usually when I come in the section sometime, as a certified coach and being trained as always be curious. So I step into the section and I imagine myself that I don't know anything at all about my clients. Mm-hmm. And then I keep questioning and keep questioning about that. And once I start seeing patterns, or once I can start connect the dots and make sense of everything that I listen, that I hear from my clients, then I think it's a good signal for me that, okay, maybe I have had enough information to move on the next stage, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Does it make sense? Yeah.
It makes total sense. I'm actually pausing in reflection. Wow, you have so much wisdom about this for someone that's been doing it 6 months. Tam, you make me feel like a slow learner.
No, absolutely not. I have a lot. Well, those kind of knowledge or thing that I learned are actually from you guys, from APCDA, you know, the very first association that I joined. Mm-hmm. You know,
and we've been so fortunate to have you. Tam is very involved with the marketing committee? Am I getting the name?
News committee.
News committee. Oh my goodness. So sorry, APCDA. Brain fog. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you. And today, for getting to know the magnificent work that you're doing, and to remind us of, you know, as those of us that are at the mentoring stage, of what that transition can really feel like and how it can, I think, inform our practice and make us very effective from the very start of our practice. Is there anything important about, like, your business or the work that you do or your philosophy that I haven't asked a good question to uncover before we start to wrap up?
I think we cover most of the thing that that I'm currently working. I guess my vision in the future is really how to transform the quantitative measure in career development into some sort of qualitative measure. Mm. You know, that we put some human touch in our outcome with our clients, that somehow we can measure or somehow we can look into their own story after the transformation. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, is the best achievement that we can have, and is the best way to help people be more aware of our field and our contribution to the world. So instead of how many clients that I serve, like what kind of transformation that my clients went through and how it's changed the way they make a difference in this world. So yeah, hopefully that more years to come and I will be able to serve better community and create more and more transformation for my clients.
Well, Tam, thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest. And for honestly, I think showing some courage, right? Because when you're new at something, putting your processes and your thoughts out to the world feels a lot, maybe a little dangerous. So I think that you've provided a great benefit to everyone that's considering career development, that's early career, mid career, and late career. Just to lend your voice to the conversation. Is there any way that people, if they wanted to find out more about you or even sort of look for you for career coaching, social media, website, how can people best find you?
Yeah, I'm active on LinkedIn. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. And also feel free to check my website. Sometimes I put some interesting articles there if that's what you're looking for. But yeah, any people that would love to have a connection with me, just go through those two channels.
And you do virtual coaching with anyone in the world, right?
Yeah.
Or you're not localized in your approach. So people can find you. Great. Well, you know, I don't know how we keep doing it, folks, but we just keep, in my opinion, nailing these episodes by bringing on guests that have such interesting, unique perspectives and things to tell us that really help us appreciate and grow within the profession of career development. And so until next time, this is Global Career Guy Brian Hutchison signing off. I'll see you when I see you.